Take your seats. Let's open our text to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27. I'm reading from verse 21 through 26. Thus says the Lord. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the sheep. For this very night, there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island. This is the word of God. Father, we come before your presence this afternoon or this morning, thanking you for bringing us together in this hall to worship you. The time has come for us to worship you through listening from you, through your word. Lord, use me as a vessel. Don't allow me to speak my own mind, but allow me to speak only that which comes from you through the written word. To the glory of Christ our King, and to the edification of your saints here. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Good morning. Yeah, those of you who have come here for the very first time, we welcome you. And also the old saints, we welcome all of you together. As we continue in our series, you remember that the title in last Sunday's message, God called you to stop trying to save yourself. We saw how in the ship people started trying different means to try to save their own lives. 5 of them. But at the end of everything, they ended up by saying in verse 20, When neither sun nor star appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. They were doing whatever they did, trying to save their own lives. But the conclusion after all that they did was, we had lost all hope. In other words, every one of them was ready to die. We see the same thing in life today. Physically speaking, People try to save their own selves with the so-called expression that I hear from people, that I have my own dreams and I myself have to fulfill them. That's a high rate of arrogance, forgetting that you have a creator. And you've been trying and trying and trying, up to now you have not succeeded. Spiritually speaking, still people want to save themselves. Just like the crew in the ship, people have come up with various ways to get to Christ that you don't find anywhere in scripture. They're just from men's mind. One of them is by trying to do good. Yeah, you believe if you help the poor, the orphans, yeah, that will take you to Christ. You'll be a born again believer. And others have even invented their so-called sinner's prayer and say, come to the cross now and receive Christ after the preaching. If you leave your chair, come here and you raise up your hands and repeat a prayer by the preacher, then they tell you, you are now born again, go and sit. Is that how people get born again? If one asked you to show just one example throughout the whole Bible of a person, just one who got saved in that way after repeating someone's prayer, can you find one here? And you find many goats that call themselves sheep. I'm also a born again Christian, simply because they repeated a prayer. And people are still inventing tricks to come to Christ. And for many years you've been calling yourself born again Christian, yet you've never been one, not even for a second in your life. Even though you go to church, even though you own a Bible. In today's message, God calls you not to be discouraged. And from verse 21 to the end of chapter 27, we find four ministries of encouragement by Paul to the passenger in the boat, in the ship. The first one, we see that Paul preached God's word to the people in the ship. Then two, he warned them. Three, he set a good example before them. And finally, he rescued them. Today, we are going to focus our attention to the first ministry of encouragement by Paul. And see how he preached God's word in his encouragement to the crew. In verse 21, we find that Paul began by softly rebuking them, the people in the boat, before his words of encouragement. When he said, since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Remember, this is the second time Paul has intervened. The first time is found in verses 9 and 10. When he raised up his voice to warn them not to go to Crete. Because Paul was an itinerary preacher. And he had been through the Mediterranean for many, many times. He knew very well that that period of time when they wanted to sail to Crete was a very dangerous time to be in the Mediterranean Sea. He warned them to spend winter at Fair Haven. But not all of them did not listen to him. They decided to go. You are a nobody. So now they are about to die. All of them have admitted and they are ready to die. Then Paul has been silent, watching them struggle, trying to do this and that and the other thing and the other one, but all in vain. And he comes back the second time and reminds them of their mistake of not listening to him. And that's the reason why those who have been close to me, I always tell you to always warn people. I know many people who see others go into a wrong direction and they fear to tell them, or you fear to tell them, because maybe they will not be happy with you. Whenever someone is doing something they believe at that time that this is the right thing to do, you keep quiet. After 2 years, 3 years, this guy is in trouble. They start regretting. And then you're like, I wanted to tell him. I wish I told him. But how can I know that you really wanted to tell me? So go ahead and tell them. If they hate you or not, just tell them. What you're doing is not going to help you. Don't waste your life. You see, because Paul had warned them, he did not just keep it within himself. Now he comes out to try now to show them their past mistake. He did not say, yeah, this guy is, because of his past mistakes, is now in pain. So if I remind him of that, I'll be adding on the pain. No, don't. At least let them know that they have a hand on what is going on. Let them know that they have a hand. But the problem now is, differently from Paul, you tend to remain on their past mistake. And you want to keep reminding them, you see now, hey, yes, feel it. Feel it. I warned you. No, continue. You are reaping what you sowed. And tomorrow, and next week, didn't I warn you? Next month, but I warned you. Warning is not bad, it's okay. But the mistake was done, you cannot reverse. See how Paul handled it. He just reminded them of their mistake quickly. Immediately he leaves that page and goes to the page of encouragement. And we come now to the content or the message of Paul's encouragement in verse 22. where he says, yet now. You hear those words? The past is gone. We need to face the present and the future. Yet now I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you to take heart, to be encouraged. You will not change your life now by thinking about the mistakes you did in the past. You can't. Face your life now. Because they had gone days without eating food. And where do you get appetite for food when you know that you are dying? You cannot blame these guys. Where do you get the appetite from? But now he comes, the Lord is using him to encourage them. He says, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the sheep. The sheep will be broken. No solution for that. But none of you is going to die. Please, eat food. So those are the words of Paul of encouragement. We are going, all of us, through the storms of life. And people are looking for even just one voice to give them words of encouragement. Unfortunately, even Christians don't know how to encourage their brethren. Instead, you are there to break them again the more. Yes, nothing to do here. You have to die because you did not listen to me. But Paul instead is encouraging them. We find the same story in the book of Genesis. In chapter 42 and verse 22, it says, and Reuben answered them, his brothers, did I not tell you not to sin against the boy? But he did not listen. So now there comes the reckoning of his blood. So Reuben and his brothers are in Egypt. They are facing their own brother Joseph that they had sold. They have not recognized him. They know this is the prime minister. And he's tossing them to and fro. And then when he gets some small gap, Reuben, the big brother, tells his younger brothers, didn't I tell you? I stopped you from sinning against the boy. You see, now you are paying for your own sins. But in verse 21, before the words of Reuben, they started blaming themselves, saying, the Bible says, then they said to one another, in truth, we are guilty concerning our brother. In that, we saw the distress of his soul when he begged us and we did not listen. So he was begging them to spare his life with too much distress. Please forgive me, my brothers. But they did not listen to him. And they conclude like this. That is why this distress has come upon us. My friends, if you hear people ask you to abandon the wrong way you are treading on today, listen to them before it is too late. Because tomorrow you'll regret for your life today. Remember this. Our Creator is a forgiving God. Do whatever you do now, but Anytime in the future, if you come to him for forgiveness, he will forgive you. But you will pay for what you are doing with your life now. They are not the same. If you had acquired HIV AIDS now, don't expect that after being forgiven by God that a miracle will come and the HIV goes. It will haunt you and you will die. David was trying to cry, God, I've asked for forgiveness. Let my son live. And they all say, no, I've forgiven you, but the son will die. Don't waste your life. Don't ruin your life. You are quitting school now. In the future, God will forgive you, but you'll be an illiterate, an educated person. Unless you go back to school. Yeah, so friends, you hear on this pulpit every Sunday, stop what you're doing. Don't sail to Crete. You will die on the way. Yeah, but you don't listen. Yeah, so how poor are you at encouraging others? Parents, even some born again Christians are poor at encouraging their own children. What your children hear from your mouth always is, you will not manage. You will never pass mathematics. In our family, people don't pass mathematics. So you are just wasting your time. May the Lord help us with this message today. To go and repent to whoever we've been breaking their hearts. Just try to encourage them. But listen to me. Don't try to encourage sinners in their sins. If you do that, you'll be a Joel Osteen of Uganda. It's okay with you. God loves you. Nothing bad will happen to you. You're the son of the king. Even if you are walking in your sins, the only way you can encourage the sinners is encourage them to repent. Tell them that God said in his written word that he will send people to hell. So I encourage you to repent because he promised that he will forgive you. And he says, whatever amount of sins you might have committed, he is able to forgive them. Encourage them in that way. But don't encourage them to feel good in their sins. Encourage your brethren. People are going through suffering. Some even start doubting their God. Does he truly love me? Go and encourage them. And then we go to our other point here. We want to look at the source of Paul's encouragement. Because you find him speak with boldness, without any doubt. Why? The source, the base, the foundation of Paul's encouragement was the promises of God. As we find that in verse 23, 24, and 25, up to 26. So Paul says, I urge you to be encouraged. Don't fear. Eat food if you can, for none of you is going to die. Why? Because this very night, there stood before me an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve or I worship. Did you hear that? So I'm telling you that none of you is going to die because someone stood by me just this very night. Try to imagine. I don't know whether you are trying to figure out. Okay, most of you have not been in seas, in lakes, but some of us really have sailed in lakes. When it's the tempest, the wind is really tossing the ship to and fro. But Paul was receiving messages from the Lord. And this angel did not come to stand by him only. But he said to him, and these are the words, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar." Not "you can" or "you may." It's a must. Okay, this simply means others can die and Paul can survive. But the angel continues saying, "And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you." This is where Paul got his courage from and said, "You guys, none of you is going to die." Here it does not mean like some preachers say that God said all of them are going to get saved. No. He's just telling him that. By the way, Paul himself is interpreting what the angel told him here. There are some preachers have gone to say that, "And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you," meaning that all of them will get saved through your preaching. No. Paul himself interprets it to them clearly by saying, none of you is going to die. Listen what he says in verse 25. "So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told." Now, when you go back to verse 23, he said, "This very night there stood before me an angel of God, to whom I belong." So this is now, Paul could not spare waste that time without talking about the God he serves. And any true child of God behaves like this. You don't spare time without talking about your God. The whole ship was filled with businessmen and soldiers and the crew. It's only three people, Paul and his two brothers, who might have been saved. Many of the people in the ship were heathens, worshipping other gods. And Paul says, "This is an opportunity for me to let them know about my God." So the angel who stood before me this night was sent by the God who owns me. I belong to him. And my question to you this morning is, can you speak like this? Is God your God? Obviously, he's your father in the sense that he created you. Yeah, because he is the father of any creature. But when we come to the relationship between a dad and his child, he is not your God. Paul says, "This God to whom I belong, he the one who gave me these words through his angel. If you don't belong to God, this is your opportunity now. Don't deceive yourself that you are already born again. What proves to you that you are already born again? Are you born again with the kind of fruit you bear? The God to whom I belong and whom I serve. And ESV says, whom I worship. And there's no contradiction here. You cannot serve the one you don't worship. You cannot worship the one you don't serve. If we are serving this God, it's because we worship him as our God. And if you do worship God, I can ask you, in which way, in which sense do you worship him? Because the word worship comes from the word of worship. Word of worship, of reverence. And will you worship him with the way you live your life? Yeah, these days there have been a virus of late coming in RBC. Everyone comes to church whenever they want. And this always makes my heart bleed. Because, you know, I always compare our other appointments. When you are given an appointment for a job, or you are going for a visa to go to those countries that you worship, you believe they are heaven here. Not only you, even me, I go there 30 minutes prior. Because I don't want to miss any chance. But what we do to those fake things, we fail to do it with when it comes to God's programs. Obviously, if you come late because of some circumstances, don't kill yourself. Yes, sometimes I get stopped along the way by the police trying to disturb me because they want to bribe from me and time is going. No problem. Oh, you also have many other genuine reasons why you might be late. But if it's because, according to the teachings today by Brother Dave, it's because of your laziness. You spend Saturday on social media, WhatsApp up to 2 a.m. Then you sleep up to 10. And then you enter here 11:30. Then you don't worship God. You don't revere God. So these words are from the God to whom I belong. And whom I worship, whom I serve. Even where you are taking me, you are taking me there because I serve him. Many of the people here are going the way they are going to be executed. But you are taking me before Caesar because I serve this great God. At least they've heard. And this angel did not simply stand before, but he told me something from my God. Do not be afraid, Paul. And it's not the first time God is encouraging his servant. In chapter 18, verses 9 and 10, again God said these words to Paul. And the Lord said to Paul, one night in a vision, Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. He came back in chapter 23, verse 11, and said, this is God. And in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also at Rome. So all these words were deep in the heart of Paul. That's why when others are despairing, thinking they're going to die, Paul was just at ease. Because the foundation, the source of Paul's encouragement is the promises of God. He knows that the God he serves does not lie. Whatever he says will come to pass. If he says, he told me in 23:11 that I have to reach Rome, then I will. The promises of God. They are a stronghold to those of you here who are the saints of Christ. Even through the storms of life, you remember them and you feel strengthened. The promises of God. And Paul, now the promise of God are making Paul not to see the storm. And the ship is now breaking. He cannot see all that because of the promises of God. Be strengthened by that, dear saint of Christ. I know you go through a lot of storms. Even as you've been singing in your hymns today, let me just read for you one of the hymns you've sung about the standing on the promises of God. Please put your 2 feet on the promises of God and you'll not be discouraged in this world. Brother Carter, the composer, says this: standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I'll shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. You find them throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, even though you go through fire, I'll not forsake you. You are going through fire of life. He is with you. Remember your 3 brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not fear anything. I said, oh King, go ahead if you want to throw us in that fire. They threw 3. The king and his people saw 4 men. And the 4th was like the Son of God. He is always with you through whatever you are going. Don't listen to these false preachers we have in Uganda. There are many. They disturb your ears with a false prosperity gospel, telling you that you are a winner. You have to succeed always. Which Bible told you that you have to succeed always simply because you are a Christian? Isn't he the same King Jesus who promised us suffering? That just as the world has hated me, it will also hate you. But the preachers of today, the pastors of today, deceive people because they want their money. It's well with you. Whether you live in fornication or what kind of sin? It's well with you. Let me tell you this morning, it will not always be well with you, even if you are truly born again. But to stand on the promises of Christ. Verse 2 says, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail or come to you, it seems I'll never get married. It seems I'll die poor. He says, just stand, put your 2 feet on the promises of God that cannot fail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Verse 3 says, standing on the promises, I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Stanza 4 says, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. The wire, the cable that ties you to Christ is a strong cord of God's love. Encourage one another with those words. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. It is the same promises of God that was the reason behind Paul's words of encouragement to the people in the ship. Because he tells them that in verse 23 says, I know that it will be like that because God told me this very night. He does not doubt his king. The way you do doubt him. God, you've taken too long. God, you've taken too long. I've prayed and prayed to you. You are not answering me. I want to do it my own way. As I end, let's end with the God has told me virus. Yeah, there's a virus that is moving all over the world in the Christendom of God has told me, or the Lord has told me. You might be here and also use the same expression. God told me. God told me. God told me. Your pastors are deceiving you all the time. God told me. I asked myself, why did you meet him? Yes, God does speak through someone's mind to guide them. I don't deny that. But you'll be very wrong if you think that because you are a true born-again Christian, whatever comes into your mind is from God. Check here the difference between the mind of a saved man and the word of God. I don't know whether you noticed this as we are going through this portion of scripture today. In Paul's warning to the crew in verses 9 and 10, he said this: Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss. Not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Listen to me carefully. Paul says, Sirs, I perceive. Not God has told me. Yeah, you can say something as a Christian, no problem. But just I'm just warning you to avoid every time God has told me. God has told, where did you find him? How did you know that God has told you this? Good enough? Good enough, Brother Paul puts his words right. I perceive as Paul that this trip will be dangerous, to have a lot of injury. And not only injury, but also much loss. The loss not only of the cargo, of the things in the ship and the ship itself, but also the loss of our lives. That's the perception of Paul as a man of God. When you jump to verse 22, the same Paul says, yet now I urge you to take heart. Listen to these words. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the sheep. Do you sense contradiction there? I sensed it myself. But Paul, you have told us that you are sensing loss of things and our lives, which means at least even one life or five would be perished. But again, you are telling us that there will be no loss of life among all of us here, only the sheep will be spoiled. Yes, because the first words came from his perception. The second words are coming direct from God's word. He sent an angel. And the angel told him point blank. In verse 24, and he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. Not only you, but all the people you have here in the ship, God has given to you, so you'll be saved together, in other words. So you see how many pastors are deceiving Ugandans. God has told me, don't fear them. Ask them, pastor, show me a scripture. Because the authority of the second words of Paul was God's word. He got that God's word through the voice of an angel. But in our days, don't expect those angels, because we have the written word of God with us. Everything God wants to tell you, he will tell you through scripture. That's why it becomes very dangerous if you want to rely more on your dreams and so-called visions at the mercy of God's word. You'll become a false prophet, as we have many that you call pastors in Uganda now. God has told me, has become God has told me in Uganda. Everyone, what you sense, you want to tell people, God has told me. Yeah, I can, as your pastor, I can sense something. I say, no, I feel you're not walking well these days. But be careful to tell people, God has told me that you are not walking well these days. So you can see, who can be as holy as Paul among us? This zealous brother. Up to now, I'm still astonished with this great love to our King Jesus. But you see what he says, that this trip will have loss of lives. But God says, no life will be lost here. Rely on God's word, you never go wrong. I was almost a prophet myself many years ago. Many people know me as a prophet in this city. But that's nonsense. This is God's word. This is the angel of God to us. Read through it and obey his promises. Everything is there. You don't need dreams. You don't need visions. Because how sure are you that this dream is from God and this one is not from God? Your thoughts bring about dreams. But whatever you dream about, God told me. Whatever you think about, God told me. If you've been doing that, please stop. You can only say boldly that God told you if you are quoting scripture. And for today, we'll leave it there. And by encouraging you to be encouragers to others, even to the sinners, encourage them that it is possible. Because some fear, because they have sinned too much, they think God cannot forgive my sins. Encourage them. Tell them, come to the Lord. He will forgive you. Isn't it amazing? People are despairing in the ship. But Paul is talking with his God. He's at peace. But that does not mean that he did not fear. Because if he did not, the angel would not have begun with his by this word, "Do not be afraid." And because as human beings, you can't tell me that you don't have even a sense of fear, not even a little like this. You'll be a liar. Because if God man, simply because of his humanity, he showed a sense of fear. Father, if it pleases you, let this cup be taken away from me. And you want to tell us that you don't fear at all? No, even God had seen that Paul was also fearing a little bit. Reason why his words begin with, "Do not fear, Paul. Don't be afraid." And once God has told you, "Don't be afraid," through his word, trust him like Paul, who told the people with him. So take heart, men. I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. Forget of the words they tell you in those churches. Tell your neighbor, "I'm not poor, I'm rich." Those are lies. Those are lies. You'll just repeat, "I'm not poor, I'm rich," forever until you die poor. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're struggling with Brucella like me, and you're telling your neighbor, "I'm not sick." But you have Brucella. Be realistic. Trust in the Lord. Forget about Brucella and malaria. Trust in the Lord. Whether Brucella is there or typhoid or whatever, even cancer, put your 2 feet on the promises of God. Even if it took me, one of these promises is that I'm going to prepare for you a place in glory, so that where I am, you can also be with me one day. What is greater than that, friends? Put your feet on the promises of God. Vamukatemba, come out of comedy in this country. May the Lord have mercy on us. Let us not be late when we come to worship God next Sunday. Let us worship him. Let us give him his glory. Paul says in Corinthians, that whatever you do, even up to the level of eating and drinking, do whatever you do to the glory of Christ. If you woke up at 4 a.m. just one day a week on Sunday so that you can be here early. You won't die. Can you really call God your God? Do you serve Him? How? Let's pray. Be glorified, King of Glory. Thank you for these words that have come to us through your written word, especially. I've learned a lesson about the difference between my perceptions, my thinking, and your word. Your word remains your word. May you help us rely on it. May you help us rely on your word alone and not trust our own thinking and our own plans, our own perceptions. May you help us be encouragers to others. Forgive us, Lord, if we have discouraged anyone in any way. Telling our own children, our own parents, our friends, our neighbors, you cannot manage this, you're a failure. May you help us put our 2 feet on the your promises. We have many in the written word. Help us, Lord. In Jesus Christ we pray.